used Job, I would not want to go through what Job went through. I'll be honest with you. I mean, his wife even said, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die and look at the miserable shape you're in. Can you cut the effects off of that, or is that downstairs? I'm echoing. That's good when you're singing, but not when you're talking. But anyway, we talked about Job and all the heartache. He lost all of his family. But yet at the end of Job's life, God blessed Job. And God doubled back everything that he had lost. But when I was preaching this, the point that I was trying to make is that God allowed the enemy to come to Job. And this is what the Bible says, without turning back over there, that he never falsely accused God, and he retained his integrity. And you know, I don't know about you, but that's when you're going through things in life, such as Job did, the ones that's in this room that's went through trials. You know, we have either the option of throwing our hands up and quitting, or we can do what these men did that I actually mentioned before I went out of town. So the other one was Daniel. We talked about Daniel. There was four things that we talked about with Daniel. Daniel was a man that stayed in righteousness, and I didn't look back at all that today. And he kept himself before God, and he was upright before God. And then there was these other three little guys that was thrown into the fire. And God didn't keep them from the fire, but God got in the fire with them, and they went through the fire, as Jason Krabs sings that song. So with all that being said, the things I was working on before I actually went out of town a few days ago was embracing the kingdom mindset. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that the Word of God is what we have to cling to. Even when we are faced with great difficulties, somehow or another, we just have to reach way, way down and just grab a hold of the Word of God and hold to the Word of God and just believe that God is going to work it out. Somehow, some way, God's going to work it out. So for this lesson tonight, and let me say this as you're turning to the book of Numbers, chapter number 13. What we embrace is what we will become. Hello? What we embrace is what we will become. Job did not embrace defeat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is that right? They did not embrace defeat. They said, I know that God's for us. Daniel was to be thrown into the lion's den under Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, oh king, do whatever you're going to do. We're not going to serve, we're not going to conform. We're not going to do that. And then the thing I was working on before that is simply because there's so many today that seemingly has done just opposite of what the Bible said. Because the Bible says, if you look in Romans chapter number 12 and verse 1, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I don't know if I'm talking to anybody besides myself tonight, but has there ever been a time in your life that your thinking has went astray and you've had to almost slap yourself and say, hey, you can't think like that? Because that's not the way God, the Word thinks. You have to bring yourself back in line with the Word of God. So tonight is one of the things I wanted to talk about is kingdom concepts with decisions, because there are those of us that make decisions every day over our spiritual life. Israel had to get to the place of whether they were going to do what God called them to do, or they were going to live in defeat. And then soon after that, as they would make decisions, then defeat would keep them from the promises of God. So I wanted to share with you just for a few minutes. I'm not going to be real long tonight, or I don't plan on being. And I know I've said that 100 times. But in the book of Numbers, chapter number 13, I'm going to skip around a little bit. When you open this particular book up, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." Then when you get into verse number 3, all the way down through 15 or so, we can see the men that was picked and those that was picked out of the different tribes, and then they were chosen to go into the land to spy out the land. The first thing that God told them before they ever got to the border, before they ever got to where God was going to take them, and this is something I believe if we're going to embrace the kingdom of God and become everything that God wants us to be, that we've got to embrace God's mindset. And God told them in the scripture, he told them there in verse number 20, and he said, "What is the land, whether it be good or lean, whether it be there be wood therein or not?" Look in verse the middle part of that. He said, "And be ye of good courage." Look at your neighbor and say, "Be of good courage." And sometimes when you're going through things, all you need is somebody, a companion, somebody that's on your team, somebody that's on your side, somebody that believes in you, somebody that's going to stick by you. And you encouraging one another and you're telling them, "Be of good courage," the Bible said, "and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first grapes. And you know this scripture as well as I have read these scriptures before in days gone by. We can see that where God had already told them, if you're going to possess the land, you're going to have to be of good courage. Some of the same things we see in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse number 9. Several different places throughout the book of Joshua. If you go back and look at Joshua, and I'm getting way, way ahead of myself. But Moses was dead. Then there rose up Joshua and his generation. And then he told them in the scripture the very same thing. He says, "Be not dismayed. Don't be sidetracked. Don't be discouraged." He said for them to keep their courage. And if there's anything that I could say to you and to me this evening, if we're going to serve God in the year 2023 forward, there's definitely one thing we're going to have to be, and that's going to be filled with courage. And again, when you look at the scripture there in Joshua 1 and 9, he tells them, you've got to be filled with courage and be not dismayed. He said, and be not afraid. He said, for the Lord is with you. Is that not a good word for tonight? So when I say that, you've got to understand where I'm coming from, because the enemy of your soul has done it to me. If he's done it to me, he'll do it to thee. If he's done it to me, he'll do it to you. The first thing the enemy wants to do is to tell you you'll never make it. The first thing the enemy wants to do is to convince you that God is not for you. The first thing the enemy wants to do is to tell you that God is not going to be with you through the things that you're going through in life. How do you know that, preacher? Because he's done it to me. How many times, and you can leave that scripture there for a minute, but how many times have I had to go and rehearse in my own mind the book, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7, and he says here in the word that God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear has not come from God. It's come from the enemy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love and power of a sound mind. When I studied this in days gone by, it's been said that a lion's roar can be heard as much as 2 miles away. And when that big lion roars on the plain of Africa or wherever he might be, the reason that he roars is that he is wanting somebody there to know the boss is in town. He's wanting somebody to know that the king of the jungle has arrived, and he's wanting to strike fear in every animal there, and where that they will be filled with fright. And that's the way the enemy does you. And that's the way the enemy does me, because the Bible says that he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's what the enemy does to us. But see, I believe, and I try to live by this. I'm not perfect in it, but I certainly try to do what I'm trying to share with you tonight. I try to stay upbeat. And I'm just going to talk to you tonight. I'm not trying to be preachy, but I try to stay upbeat 90% of the time. But it's that 10% that tries to come in every now and then and tries to tear me down. Do you know that your words, your life is going to follow your words? Are you with me tonight? Your life is going to follow your words. So we see here that when Israel began to look at everything around them, we can see that how that God had told them already to go into the land. And it said that everywhere that you go, everywhere that your foot goes, the Bible said that God's already given you the land. Now here's what happened. They went into the land. You can see this in verse number 23 of Numbers 13. And they came to the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch of one cluster. Now you know this as well as me. One cluster of grapes, and bear it between two up on a staff. And they brought it of the pomegranates and the figs. So they brought in grapes. They brought in pomegranates. They brought in figs. And they were there. And they hoisted them up between the poles. They went back into the camp. And they went back from searching the land, the Bible said. And the Bible reminded them that when they seen the fruit of the land, I believe it was a time of rejoicing. I believe that it was a time of victory. We all love a good altar service. Well, we used to anyway. We all love a good move of God, or at least we used to anyway. We all love it when the water's stirring and God's moving and the Holy Ghost is flowing. But yet it's when you get out there in the real world, as I call it, and you face these things that we call the giants of life. No matter what, now watch this, no matter what has happened around an altar, no matter what has happened in a good move of the Holy Spirit of God, if you will, if we allow the enemy to come and talk to us, we're going to lose everything we gained around the altar. See, God told them, I'm with you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. Go possess the land. They brought back the fruit of the land. They brought back the grapes. They brought back the good report. And this place is a land of luscious, luscious green pastures. We have plenty to eat. There's no more poverty. It's going to be a great place. But yet we begin to look in the scripture. We begin to see this. And it says, as you begin to look at the scripture there, and you can see this in verses 26, 27, 28, along through there. And when you begin to look at what was in front of them, again, God reminded them to be of good courage. And I've often thought it like this. It's always exciting until work day. In other words, we're always excited about the church. We're all excited about what we need to do at the church until our faith has to be stretched. Until it's going to cost us our time and our talent and our treasures and our efforts. And then all of a sudden, the victory that was in front of us, all of a sudden, becomes an obstacle. May I submit unto you tonight that life is filled with obstacles? But yet we are reminding ourselves this evening that God said in His Word that I am for you and I am not against you. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We're looking at the Scripture this evening, and we see this where the Bible again reminds us. When you begin to look at verses number 26 and 27, moving forward, it said that they brought back the great fruit of the land, and they brought it to the people, and the people rejoiced, and the people was encouraged. And then we can see where they said the land was filled with milk and honey. And then 28 comes. Now watch this. all of a sudden, the whole situation shifts. Their mindset shifts. They were being told that God was for them. They were being told that there's fruit in the land. There's promises in the land. I wonder how many people that you know and how many people that I know has at some point in their life, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many people has actually sang and shouted and danced and praised God around the altars? You know them and I know them. I know people that's been in this church that at one time they sang and they worshiped God and they praised God and they shouted and they even spoke in tongues. You know when I'm telling you the truth. But yet when it really got tough, when the obstacles got in front of them and when the giants began to show up in their life, all of a sudden, everything that was done in their life at one time, and they were rejoicing and they were holding on and they were excited about serving God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's always going to be giants, but God's promises is always stronger than the giants. The giants are always going to be there. It's the enemy's job to discourage you. It's the enemy's job to tear you down. It's the enemy's job. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. It's the enemy's job to always make you live in the mindset of defeat. It's the enemy's job to always get you to look at how big the enemy is and how little our God is. And that is exactly what was happening with the children of Israel. They were not defeated on the battlefield. They were defeated in their mind before the battle ever begun. And if we don't have the mind of Christ as it pertains to doing spiritual warfare and to defeat the enemy of our soul, we are defeated before we even get started. Hello? So when I begin to look through this again, when we think about Israel and how that Israel embraced defeat, they embraced defeat. If there's anything that I want to tell us this evening, we don't, as a church, we don't want to embrace defeat. We want to be encouraged. We want to know that greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And if God be for you, then who can be against you? Or my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. And thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord. And so we can quote the scripture, but can we actually live it out? Because there's going to be a testing day, just like there was for Job, just like there was for Shadrach, Meshach, and the other guy. There's going to be days in your life, in my life, whether I'm going to commit my way to serving God or I'm going to look at everything the enemy's trying to do to me and I'm going to cow down to the enemy. But I want to serve notice on the devil, because I'm not a child of the devil. I'm a child of God. And God is in me, and God is in you. And the thing that I'm trying to get you to embrace this evening is simply this, that you and I must break this mentality today that we are defeated and all we got to do is show up on church on Sunday morning and it's going to be okay. No, my friend, I believe every day, I do it and you do it. Every day it's a determination to serve God and to do what God has called the church to do. Yes, the hounds of hell are going to howl at you and they're going to try their best to destroy you. But my friend, God's already made you and I a promise today, and we must hold on to the unchanging hand of Almighty God. But I want to share some scripture with you. Here's the thing. When the Bible says that Caleb stilled the people before Moses, Caleb was there. Now we know the Bible teaches us at another place. The Bible teaches us that Caleb, and I love it, and it says that Caleb had another spirit. There was something about Caleb in chapter 24. We'll get to that eventually. Chapter 14, verse 24. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But Caleb had another spirit. He had the tenacity of a pit bulldog, if you will. When you think about Caleb, it was one of those descriptions that I've heard in the past that means that he clamps down and he holds on. He had another spirit about him. The Bible defined that in the next chapter. We'll get to it eventually. But he had another spirit about him. And it was a spirit that believed God. It was a spirit that refused to be defeated. It was a spirit about him that knew that if God's word was true and God's word was yea and amen, he was going to do everything he could to hold on to the unchanging hand of God. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. We're living in a defeat society today. We live in a society today that feels defeated. We've been told in society today that we've been defeated by the government. We've been defeated by the political party that you're associated with or not with. And it's this one's fault and that one's fault and Biden's fault, the governor's fault, White House fault, this house. And we've embraced all of that. But I think that it's important that we, the church, embrace what God says. Caleb had another spirit. When Caleb was with Moses, he settled the people there in verse number 30. Caleb's mindset was simply this: hey, they ain't seen nothing yet. And the reason I said that is because they were going up to possess the land. Caleb had a mindset: I'm going to possess the land. If you and I, and it's far more than coming and sitting on a church pew. Unbelievers can come and sit on a church pew. I'm not calling anybody an unbeliever here tonight, but sitting on a church pew does not qualify you for heaven. Come on, somebody. But we've got to develop the mindset. I've got a heavenly home. Excuse me the way I'm going to say this. Come hell or high water, I'm going to serve God. Come hell or high water, I'm going to worship God. No matter what I have to go through, I'm not giving in, I'm not giving up, I'm not giving over, because I'm going to serve Him to the day that I take my last breath. You in this room are the mature saints of God. You served God for years. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But how many people do you know, and how many people do I know, and how many people have we seen walk away from the church just because they got their little old feelings hurt over something? Somebody didn't speak to them. I hear that all the time. Somebody walked right by me and didn't speak to me, and I'm mad at them. I hear that all the time. Did you speak to them? Did you touch them on the shoulder and speak to them instead of you waiting on them to speak to you, and then you talking about them when they walk away? I mean, I hear this stuff, folks. You say, well, you just got back from vacation. It didn't happen while I was gone. This has happened years. But you know, with our words, we live and die by our words. We live and die by our thought life. Somebody says, well, I don't get into all that positive confession and that positive speaking. I'm going to tell you something. I don't get into name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. But I do get into the mindset that what I think in my mind, my body's going to follow. What I think in my mind, I'm going to do. Are you with me tonight? How I think is exactly how I'm going to live my day. Now, I don't know whether you ever do this or not. Somebody asked, the wife one time said, well, did you wake up grumpy today? Said, no, I let him sleep in. But do you know the first few minutes, and I've noticed this in my own life, and I try, I'm not perfect, but I try. The first few minutes that you're awake of the morning, if you wake up with a thought in your mind that's negative, or a thought that's bad, or, well, some people don't never have bad thoughts, but sometimes I do. You know, this is going to be a bad day, or you not feel good today, or you're going to get defeated. I mean, that's what goes through your head. Not sinful things, just things when you don't feel good, and you know, the devil just gets in there and he starts messing with your mind. Brother Russell, I found out if I can just get my mind in the right place in the first few minutes of the day. Hey, y'all want to hear what my routine is? Thank you for letting me share it with you. We got three dogs. We get up in the morning, let the dogs out, do our thing with the dogs. Feed the dogs, do our thing. I get me some coffee, Brother West. I like coffee. If you don't like coffee, that's your business. I drink coffee, that's my business. So I get me some coffee, and I go in there, and I sit where I sit at the chair. And I sit there. I don't turn on Good Morning America and all that mess. I sit there, and I just read. I read the scripture. Sometimes I read different things. I read a man that changed a mountain or whatever it was, whatever the name of that is, Janet. She gave me a book to read. I've been reading on it a little bit. But the whole reason of me doing that is so I can set the precedence for the day. Somebody says, well, I don't have time to get up in the morning. I have to be at work at 4:30 in the morning. Some of the best time I've ever had was when I was driving to work. Oh, I went on the wrong side. I would drive the work of the morning. I had a 30-minute drive there and 30-minute drive back. And I'd just sit there in the morning. I used to turn the radio on to WFGW and WMIT over there in Asheville. And I'd put on some Gaither music, you know, Alpha and Omega or some of the songs they would sing. And I'd just praise my way to work. So your mindset matters. Are we okay? Your mindset matters. Look at your neighbor and say, your mindset matters. You can be defeated in your mind and not even leave your living room. Hello? I can be defeated in my mind and not even leave my living room. I can get grumpy sitting on the couch. I can become a hateful old bear just sitting on the couch. And I try not to ever do that because my wife's got a pretty good right hook. I try not to ever upset her too much. She's listening, probably. But I try not to ever vent on nobody. I try not to ever spill on somebody else. I heard a phrase the other day. I'd never heard this phrase before. And you know, I kindly like the phrase. Because it was on K-Love. Some of you may listen to K-Love. I don't listen to it a whole lot, but the lady was there and she was talking about the very thing I'm talking about. And I'd never heard this phrase, never heard it before. She said that when you start grumbling on somebody else, and she was doing this to her husband, this is what she was saying. She said she was grumbling and unloading on her husband, and she used the word vomit. I'd never heard that before. She said it was like I was just vomiting all of my words, all my frustrations, and all my, everything was just vomiting out on my husband. And I thought, I never heard that phrase before. And you know, a lot of times, that's what we do. With our speech and with all of our negativism and all of our defeatism and all the words that we say. You say, well, preacher, why are you preaching like this? Simply because Israel was defeated before they ever went to the battlefield through their thoughts and by their words. And you will become what you embrace. Are you with me tonight? You will become everything that you embrace. That is who you're going to become. Well, let me quit meddling and get back into the Word. Some folks, this may not have anything to do with everybody in this room. So let me just preach to myself tonight and encourage myself in the Lord. So Caleb stilled all the people, and then this was his words. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's the mindset of somebody that's got their confidence established in what God has already told them. It's already yours. Heaven's already ours, friend. We don't have to work our way into heaven. Years ago in the church, I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. But years ago, I was under the mindset I had to work my way in. You know what I mean? We don't have to work our way in. It's already there. All we got to do is embrace what God's already given us. You don't have to work for salvation. You work after you get saved to do good works, and your works shall follow them that are saved. But your good works is going to fall at the foot of the cross, friend. The cross is everything that we do. Caleb said, we're well able to do this. We can possess this land because God's already told us. Look at this. And then verse 31, he said, but the men that went up with him. Somebody says, well, you're known by the company you keep, aren't you? The men that went up with him, his companions, those that were supposed to be on his team, those that supposed to be going and fighting the battle with him, those that he's supposed to have been locked elbows with and supposed to have been walking shoulder to shoulder with, all these other men that was chosen out went with Caleb, and this is what they said. So it does really matter whose voice you listen to. It really matters who is influencing your life. I had a good friend one time, and he said, the voice that you listen to is your pastor. He said, the voice that you listen to, you might say, well, Pastor Green is my pastor at Thomasville Church of God, but I listen to this one or that one or whatever. And that's okay. I have no problem with that at all. But the voice that you hear and the voice that you yield to is the voice that you will live or die by. And I'll be honest with you. Is it okay if I be honest with you? I don't like negative talk. I like real talk. Real talk's okay. But just somebody that's always so negative and always pulling other people down, and they can only be one little bitty cloud in a perfectly blue sky, and they'll hang their head and say, boy, it's going to rain. We're going to have a bad rain after a while. I'm just using that as an example. And I'm saying that to say this, that we have a choice to embrace what God has called us to be and to become. Or we have the choice of embracing in the world that we're living in, everything around us that we see. I know people that are worried to death about the rapture. I know people that's worried to death about the mark of the beast. I know people that's worried to death about pre-mid post. I know people that's tore up all the time about the seven horns and the big horn and the little horn and the brass and the gold and everything that's in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation from Revelation 4 all the way through Revelation 19. The church is not even here, friend. I'm not looking to go through tribulation. I'm not looking. Brother West, I'm not even worried about it. And you say, well, you're the preacher. You need to be worried about it. I said, I'm not worried about it. Not concerned and worried is two different things. If I wasn't concerned about preaching and souls, I might as well go drive a bus or something. But I'm concerned about souls. I don't want nobody to go through tribulation. I don't want nobody to die and go to hell. But I know people that so ingrained with just that area that they can't even enjoy a single day of life. Are we okay? Why don't we just be happy a while? Why don't we just shake ourselves really good and just decide we're going to get out of bed in the morning happy? Somebody said, well, I ain't got nothing to get out of bed happy for. You're breathing. You're breathing. And somebody says, well, I've got this problem and that problem. Show me somebody that ain't got a problem. But show me a group of people that's got heaven as their promise. And if we embrace all this, we'll never get to where God wants us to go. And I said, all that to say this, what you embrace, you will become. This next verse says these words. And the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. In that alone, the influence that they had over the other people spread like a wildfire. I could only imagine Caleb standing here on the sideline by himself going, God says it's ours. God says he's going to fight for us. Those men are stronger than us, and we'll never be able to do this. We're defeated before we even get started. So see, that's the decisions that had to be made. And that's the same thing in our lives today. Either we can live our lives in defeat, we can live our lives in turmoil. And there's things that I could make you cry tonight to tell you things that I know about. I could make you weep just by the stuff that I know that's going on in people's lives. But you know what, my friend? I have a tendency to keep looking to Jesus, Bob, because Jesus is my answer. The things of this world is not my answer. When we begin to look at them, and let me find a note or two as I begin to look at this, and I'll let you go here in a few minutes. And it said, we be not able to go up against them. Look in verse number 32. The Bible says in verse number 32, as again the men that was with Caleb said, we are not able to go up against them, that they're going to overcome us. We're defeated. 31 said, but the men in 31 said that, in verse 32, excuse me. And he said in 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched. The children of Israel saying, the land though through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. I mean, it was a description of everything that was there. The Bible says that all the people that they, when we saw it, the men were great of stature. In other words, that land was just reeking defeat for the children of Israel. They eat up the inhabitants thereof. It's like, we're not going to be able to do this. Let me put it in perspective. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He said that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When I think about David as the psalmist describes this, it's like God's blessings and God's favor is upon us. We're sitting at the table, and the enemy's at the other end of the table, and the enemy's staring at me. And while the enemy is there staring at me in Psalm 23, the Bible says that the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm eating from God's table. I'm eating filet mignon from God's table. And the enemy is sitting at the other end of the table. And knowing this, he would love to destroy me. He would love to defeat me. He would love to take me out. But God's got me right here, that God's prepared a table in front of me, in the presence for me, in the presence of my enemies. Even though hell is doing everything it can to stop the church, we must not allow what's going on now to keep us from inhabiting the land that God has told us that He is going to prepare for us. If we get defeated on this side, we'll never be able to get to the other side. And you say, well, preacher, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Oh, my friend, let me tell you, that ain't got a thing in the world to do with it, because we've got to keep our eyes on the prize. We've got to keep our eyes on what God has already said He's given us. God told Israel, the land is yours. But yet Caleb was the only one, Caleb and Joshua, they were the only ones that embraced the goodness of God. The rest of them were defeated. That whole generation lost out and was not even able to go and possess what God said was theirs. You can read it. Chapter 14 is full of it. I'm not going to take the time to go through all of it. I'm going to tell you a few highlights and move on. When we begin to look at this, we can see in verse number 33, and it says, and they saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Now let's think about that for a second. The way they viewed themselves is the way that they were convinced that the others was looking at them. That's what he says. In our own sight, we're grasshoppers. They're giants over there. We're already defeated. They're big and we're little. They're strong and we're weak. When, Brother Bob, when did we lose this? When did we lose? I'm sorry, I feel that preacher spirit, and it's time to close. When did we lose this whole thing in the church to embrace defeat. Brother Russell, the church I grew up in, we didn't talk about defeat. We talked about victory. We didn't talk about how big the devil was and how many times the devil got up in our face and said, boo. When we quit praying and fasting, you can't hardly get anybody to pray anymore. But that's another subject for another time. But we accepted defeat because somebody told you you was defeated. And you accepted that. One of the worst things you can ever tell a child is you'll never amount to anything. The worst thing you can ever do to a child, they may have a dream that's big, big dream. Don't ever tell that kid, that ain't going to ever happen. If they want to race the Daytona 500, praise God, encourage them to race the Daytona 500. They'll grow out of it or they'll go do it, one of the two. Brother Steve back here's got these boys. I don't never know them apart. Nick and Landon, I don't never know them apart. That one plays baseball. If his ambition is to go play for the Atlanta Braves, you let him have that ambition. Don't discourage it. It's too hard. No, it ain't. You can do it. You can do this. And then let things weigh out. He may end up being a football player. Started off in baseball. You don't ever know. Tebow guy did that. Whatever his name is. Tim Tebow. Whatever. But don't discourage. We live in a discouraging society today. If I quit as a pastor, every time somebody discouraged me, Brother Sparks, I would quit pastoring within the first year of my pastoral duties. I'd have quit. If I would have quit every time that somebody hurt my feelings, I'd have quit a long time ago. If I would have quit every time I felt defeated, I would have quit the first year that I ever started. Because the life of a pastor is a roller coaster. People love you, people hate you. People's good to you, people's mean to you. I mean, it's a roller coaster. Some people like you, some people don't. I just do my thing every day and I hope everybody likes me. Praise God. But I know I was told one time, even here, well, everybody ain't gonna like you. And I thought, well, I know that. The person that told me that sitting in the room. I said, I know that everybody ain't gonna like me, but I'm not gonna give them a reason not to like me on purpose. I'm going to do everything I can to love people, to be good to people, and not ever give anybody any reason not to like me if I can help it. Now, that don't mean I've always hit a home run. That just means I don't do it on purpose. The life of a pastor is tough. And that's a whole different subject for another time because you got to know when to use the rod or use the instruments that God has given us and discipline and all that kind of stuff. I was telling somebody the other day, and I'll quit in a minute. I said, all it takes for somebody to leave the church is to tick them off one good time. I said, and they'll leave. That's all you got to do most of the time. Me as a pastor, all you got to do is make them mad one time, and all of a sudden they're going to get lead poisoning. What do you mean by that? They're going to feel led to go somewhere else, and let God's leading me somewhere. They're going to blame it on God. No, we have to make our mind up if we're going to live for God and make it to heaven. Let me give you another nugget or two and I'll let you go to the house. We see this, Caleb, when you begin to look through every bit of this, we can see that where that this congregation in their own eyes, it says that in verse 33, it says, so in our sight, we became as grasshoppers. And then it says, and so we were in their sight. When you begin to look at this whole chapter 14, the Bible begins to teach us again that how the children of Israel, they begin to rebel against God. You know, when a pastor sows a vision, when a pastor begins to share things with the church that God is speaking to his heart, and I don't have any particular agenda in saying this tonight for any particular reason, but the people have the opportunity either to murmur or to complain or to rebel or to get in line with the vision that God is showing the man of God and do and give it time, and it's going to prove out whether it was of God or not. It's going to give time. But here, they were defeated before they ever got started. Now, I'm going to shut this little notebook because I'm not done. I'm just going to stop right there. Because chapter 14 is an animal by itself. And you can read that. But I want you to stand with me. And as we get ready to depart here for just a minute, I want you to ask yourself this question. Not your neighbor, ask you. Ask yourself. Ask yourself this very important question. Very important question. Is my days spent in praise, or is my days spent in complaint? Are my days spent in praise, or is my days spent in complaint? Is my life overcome with seeing only the bad and never seeing the good? Is my days overcome with a, let me use the term that's in my mind right now, an overwhelming sense of not depression? And I'm not talking about depression in a clinical sense, because I know that that's a reality. But I'm talking about, is my days just overcome with just only able to see the bad in things, the negative in things? Or is my days better, or overtaken, that's the word that I can come up with seeing God in the things that I see throughout my day? See, we can see God in all of it. I just simply said all that to say this, that whatever you embrace, whatever I embrace, is exactly what I'm going to become. Brother West, I can become a praiser, a worshiper. I can become a person that glorifies God. I can become a person that gets out of bed in the morning with a song upon my heart and a praise upon my lips. Or I can get out of bed in the morning mad as the devil and dare anybody to touch my boo-boo because I'm ready to go off on somebody. Just give me a little bit of time and you're going to be one of my victims. You know what I'm saying? So what you embrace, you will become. Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for thy word is truth. Thy word is forever settled in heaven, and thy word, Father God, changes not. And Father, I pray, God, that you would touch us this evening and help us, God, to be found faithful as we endeavor to do your work and your will. Father, help this church to be a people that will embrace you, that will embrace what you want us to embrace in your kingdom. And Father, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you. Help us, God, to see you in all things. Help us to look at things as opportunities and not obstacles. Help us to see, God, you move in our homes and our families and our lives. And help us to see you in your handiwork all around us. Father, we love you, we honor and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. One thing I needed to mention is for our prayer.